Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman.
That's what I'm looking for, Steve. I'm looking for your raw, unedited...
premium content, guaranteed.
It's all about the content these days, isn't it?
Have you done? Were you looking for a way in?
Yeah, I think this is it, though, isn't it?
Is it?
Episode 17 of Hello, Newman.
17, yes.
17, yeah. See, I'm on the ball. I'm joining on the ball this week.
I had to check my notes, but yeah.
Good. See, I just used my brain, and for once...
I don't trust my brain, that's why I have to write everything down.
And nor should you trust mine either. So yeah, it's episode 17 of Hello, Newman. As we've previously mentioned, another podcast about Seinfeld. And we're going to watch an episode called The Revenge.
Yes, we are.
We're watching on Amazon Prime. I'm going to tell you when I'm going to press play. I will let you know the very second I've pressed play, okay?
Okay, so, to the second.
So if you want to watch along with us, there we go. Any sartorial observations? I mean, that's a pretty horrendous turtleneck, do you call it?
That's a turtleneck, isn't it? It's not a roll neck, because you haven't... It doesn't look like it's rolled.
But also at the same time, it's kind of loose and lifeless. It's quite an impressive mixture of both ugly in design and in terms of how it's...
Working with anything else in that ensemble, to be honest.
No. But I mean, there's some good observational comedy about the mores of the working world, which is significant for this episode.
This is true.
Foreshadowing.
Location.
Yeah, absolutely. We are in the office of a man who likes to collect horns. He's a triumvirate of horns. Which is never covered in the story, which is Sam. I quite like his suit, though. Brilliant George entrance. It's all or nothing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And he's spent a few minutes outside psyching himself up for this
absolutely.
First.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, this has been rehearsed. This has been rehearsed, without a shadow of a doubt. The picture look knocking over and touch is such a beautiful touch. Into more familiar surroundings.
Indeed.
Kramer still making subdued entrances.
Yeah, but is talking about an interesting character.
Well... We get to meet a titular character in a manner of speaking. Newman. Kramer's friend Newman, who, if you are watching this in syndication in America, will sound awfully like Wayne Knight. But we do eventually get to hear him, I think on DVD and on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's Larry David. Apparently, Newman was cast... and there was a scene filmed, or certainly a scene written, that had Newman in it, and also one of the building supervisors, who we haven't seen since several episodes ago,
and
we'll never meet again. But yeah, apparently Newman was cast, but not as Wayne Knight, as once we're introduced to the character properly, is the person who plays our titular, for our podcast, character. Kramer's after a favour, though, isn't he? He wants Jerry to take his dirty laundry with him when he goes to get them cleaned. So, and what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, I have no idea. Surely it just goes smoothly. You could trust the laundry.
I like this bloke. This bloke who's serving him. He's the ghost of Elliot Gould, isn't he?
He is a little. Yeah.
It's like, I'm Elliot Gould. Things have gone wrong for me.
What was really great there is we've spent almost the entire run of this podcast so far with George, Jerry, being in almost inexplicable locations. It's like one of them's got something to do, the other one's tagged along. And at the beginning of the scene, when George comes in, let's deal with it. George says, how do you know I was here?
Mm.
A little knowing nod to the way that they set these scenes up.
Well, that's the cut scene. That was, I believe, the cut scene with the building supervisor, was there's going to be some exposition with George to let him know, and it was cut and it was included into that scene, as I understand it. Be all right, it makes for a much better, more realistic... We don't need to know that George... that's completely unimportant. We know Jerry's going there. It doesn't matter how George gets to find out how he's going there. And it's tight. Even though it's about nothing and they take time to explore ideas, the story craft is incredibly tight. And it makes room for all of this brilliant dialogue that just is innocent childishness in this scene is so delightful. He's in such complete denial about what he's done, isn't he? The story itself...
He's wilted very quickly from his initial triumph of, that's it, I'm gone, I'm out of here.
The story itself is based on a real-life event. Larry David, during the 84-85 season of Saturday Night Live, had a massive hissy fit because his sketches weren't getting in.
Oh.
Did a George, said, you're the scum of the earth, I'm never working here again. And once he got home, his neighbour, Kenny Kramer, on whom Kramer is based, persuaded him to just go back and pretend it didn't happen. It worked for Larry David.
It's a good first strategy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just blowing off steam.
Yeah.
Go back. Just pretend that it was just you having a moment.
Yeah.
But you're fine.
But you're so plausible. I'd do it. Definitely. No, it's Joe. You know me. I'm just joking. But apparently the reason that George decided to quit was his lack of access to an appropriate toilet.
Yes.
Which was sparked from apparently Larry Charles kept using Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld's toilet, which caused friction. So that idea was brought in for Seinfeld about the use of... But I love facts like that about the show, because you can totally see the genesis of Curb there, can't you? I see how this stuff was extrapolated out and... You know, Curb is Seinfeld without the charm, isn't it? You know. Still a very old Macintosh computer.
It is.
Now, was that released before or after Steve Jobs left?
Oh, now there's an interesting question.
You're listening to Apple History Corner. After, so that was produced...
I think it was either 86 or 87 Jobs was shown the door.
Jobs was given no jobs. Okay, well, that was Apple Corner. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, you're welcome. Same time next week? No.
Well, it depends what your order of listening to these is.
That's true.
Yeah. You might be binging many years
from now. It might not happen. We'll keep you on your toes. It's absolutely part of the joy of listening to Helen Newman.
Hello, Newman. Jimbo was a nickname people used for me in the in my 20s.
And you didn't like it?
Yeah, it was all right. People would say Jimbo, Jimboa.
Jimboa?
I don't know, I'm a big chap, aren't I? I think Jimbo kind of fits.
Fair enough. Just makes me think of Jimbo and the Jets.
Jumbo Jet.
Oh man, small talk.
Absolutely. Oof. But real estate agents, small talk. You look at this and you realise the hell that George was living in every day though, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like...
How did he just function with that nonsense?
How did George not explode before now? It's such a... He couldn't fit less, could he?
Oh, casual sexism.
He is brilliantly slimy, isn't he?
Yeah.
you know, it's it everything.
But as lame as he is, this moment was, yeah. You know, as much as he's like, oh, that's a bit gross. He's like, this is the company I built.
Yeah.
You're all part of this journey. We're going to celebrate 10 years.
Yeah.
I'd really love it if you were going to be there.
I think he's a really convincing, wholly rounded individual.
Yeah.
Which matters at the end of the, episode. And again, it's really, they always cast, I thought, really well. People who played around them.
Mm.
They always got people who really brought their silly little characters to life. That seemed really deprecating. I didn't mean it. They're not silly little characters. I take it all back. I wish we were back in Apple Corner now. I was happier there. I also enjoy... I enjoy George desperately trying to look around for some sympathy around that table. You know. You don't need to know, but you know that he's burnt through all of the goodwill he ever had with each of those individuals around the table. Fantastic. Fantastic speech.
That is pointed and sharp.
Yeah, yeah. The ghost of Elliot Gould again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's uncanny, isn't it?
Working the cigar.
If Elliot Gould had, like, driven a taxi for 20 years, I think that's what he would have looked like. Fantastic.
I don't know if he'd have gone for the blue ball cap, though. I don't see him as a blue ball cap wearing.
Yeah, he looks more of a Jets fan, doesn't he? So he'd probably be green.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, although the Yankees and the Mets are blue, aren't they? For baseball, it's hard not to wear blue if you like baseball in New York.
Yankees is quite a deep navy, though.
It is a deep navy with pinstripes.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a nice pinstripe. I like George's suit in this as well. I like that corduroy jacket.
It's well turned out.
Yeah, it's nice.
Not quite as official and formal as his now ex-boss, but respectably dressed.
I tell you what, though, if you brought him up to now, put a big beard on him.
And a ukulele.
Hipster.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. How good are these sets? Aren't these sets? I was just looking at the sets. They're really good. I feel in many ways...
They look lived in, and that's important.
Yeah. I feel in many ways I should have had more to bring to the party than those sets look good.
Well, they're talking about slipping a Mickey.
Yes, they are.
And this weird revenge fantasy that George is set on living out.
And George is always at his best when he's seeking revenge on someone. So Jerry is very much the B story.
Yeah, although he's also the purple story.
He is the purple story.
Because he's worn an awful lot of purple already in this episode.
He's worn a lot of purple. Early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Again, I believe, based on true events from Larry David's life, there was someone who jumped from the second floor window. It's a good line. Wave to me as you pass.
Did you wave?
Yeah. But it's very much a George and Kramer B story, isn't it? We haven't seen Elaine yet, have we?
Not yet.
No.
She's coming.
We do. She appears, but it's very late in the episode we see her. Okay, so now this story develops.
Yeah.
He had the big comedian money that he gets paid as a road comic, and he thinks he's left it in the bag. Therefore, the guy must have found it at the laundromat. The ghost of Elliot Gould.
Yeah.
He's not responsible for valuables, Steve. In that excellent set.
They're at the patron's own risk.
They are. Oh, I like his eyes. He's got proper panda eyes. He just smells like New York. I think that is a Yankees hat. Oh, no, New York. Must be a Giants. It's a Giants hat. The footing ball team.
No, that might well be Yankees, actually.
No. It's NY. It's, that's the... Because you're right, it's too light a blue. That's the New York Giants. They're red and blue.
Oh.
You see that? I did. That's a very fey quarterback impression.
Oh, I thought you were doing the hat.
Oof. So who's Elaine? Hello, Elaine.
She's helping George.
And she is brilliant in this. She's always up for evil, isn't she? I want to know who that sporting team is in the background. They're in a sports bar.
They are. They out of our four main characters, they are the two which really delight in this kind of a situation.
Oh, they really do. Yeah. I mean, definitely. Oh, God, here we go. So I think this is the first time that Kramer properly appears in Seinfeld.
Yeah, this is the most physical he's been, actually, this scene.
And this is a little foreshadowing of the Kramer he will become, because it's very atypical for him. But this scene, which features Michael Richards trying to pour a bag of concrete into a washing machine to sabotage it, figuring that it's about equal in terms of the amount of money they lost to how much it would cost to replace it, that's a real bag of concrete. The concrete dust that comes flying out of it was concrete dust that was really getting in his eyes. Michael Richards insisted on having a bag of concrete and doing this for real, which makes it super impressive when he's flinging himself around like that. This isn't the first take either.
Oh, I can believe that.
Apparently, during the first take of that scene, he fell through that door.
Oh, no.
I get the impression it was some way through, which is brilliant. But Michael Richards is a funny character, but his ability to play physical comedy is second to none, I think. So here's Elaine now as the bait. Is this a bait and switch?
There's no switch.
No. If only he had an. If he had a.
There's barely any bait, to be honest. She's doing a very bad spy job.
I don't know.
Sneezing hand on the glass.
Yeah. Sneezing and being really gross in front of a guy is a great way to get his attention. But the thing is, she fucks it up so. Oh, I've just earned our E, Steve.
Oh, no. Did put a bleep over it in post.
I might. I like that she gets it so wrong that she has to go to the extremes to get it back on track. I love that. But it's sharply observed. I think there's barely a man in the world. Sorry, there's barely a straight man in the world that wouldn't respond in a similar way. Of course, most of us would do the right thing and walk away, but you'd listen and go, really? I do like his suit, though.
Great suit.
He dresses well.
Nudist colony.
You should go. When she's there, though.
Yeah, she's rolling with it.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
Glenda, also wearing purple, a popular 1991 colour, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, very much. I remember having a couple of purple t-shirts back then. It was all to go. So it was the new Summer of Love, Steve, wasn't it, you know? We were all dancing about in purple shirts. One has to ask why George waited quite as long as he did. I mean, he's only got himself to blame there.
Yeah, he ended up getting caught in a conversation with someone in the background. I think he was distracted. But now he's back to his worrying corner.
It's good. He's doing some good background worrying. I like that. Here we go. Oh, this is just fantastic. The look of panic in his face, but that's all real. It's hilarious, but the poor man's got concrete in his eyes. I mean, I say poor man, obviously he did a very racist thing, so we shouldn't be too. But I love
Jerry's trying very hard to cover her as well.
Yes, but I love the ghost of Elliot Gould does nothing. How can the ghost of Elliot Gould not know what's happening there? Here's a good question. I saw a video about how they do it now, and apparently they seem to shoot light at it or something. I don't know.
Oh, crikey.
It's weird. It was like these jeans were held up in a torture device, and something was zapped at them, and they became faded. It's really distressing.
It's amazing what you can do with lights nowadays.
It is amazing what you can do with lights these days.
Jerry's never going to go back to his favourite laundromat, though, is he? Where they fluff and fold.
No, that's done now.
All blown.
It's done now, yeah. But, you know, as things stand, fair play to him. The guy's stolen his money.
Mm-hmm.
He's had his revenge. It's all perfectly fair. Like, George...
Such a subtle Mickey slipping...
I'm surprised he didn't tap him on the shoulder to tell him he was doing it.
Yeah.
I want to know where George procured a Mickey Finn in a really cute little glass vial. Although I don't know how Mickey Finn suppliers would supply their drug, actually, to be honest.
I don't know. I get the feeling like George probably supplied his own vial.
Yeah, almost certainly. Be amazed if he didn't have a collection of vials at home.
Yeah.
So, but Elaine's done wonders for George. His boss is going to give him his job back.
Yep.
Ah, well.
Yep.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory once again. Brilliant. I love it though. Just one insult was enough. Screw having a job, you called me a shrimp. He's justified me. Would you have done the same thing in George's situation? Nice that we don't see.
And then the only nice little callback cut to him, a shrunken man sitting on the floor.
But a lesser sitcom shows us the boss running off to the toilet.
Yes.
For the cheap laugh.
Yeah.
But no, there is story to serve here. We need to move on. Oh, an envelope? So Kramer doesn't check his laundry very quickly, we learn here.
No.
And they've broken that washing machine for no good reason. But actually, it's a there we are, there's Newman.
Yep.
As played by Larry David. So he's off to do the right thing. So he has got redeemable features.
Yeah.
One of the jobs that he mentions during his listing of jobs he could do, George will eventually end up doing.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little Easter egg for you, Steve. I'm not going to tell you which one. But one of them.
This is interesting. The credit sequence, not a series of stills, but that's where they've squeezed in the stand-up, the closing stand-up.
Yeah, a little bit of stand-up. So, yeah, it becomes a very full 22 minutes of TV at this point. The revenge, I think the biggest belly laughs we've had provided to us yet is I can't watch the scene with Kramer in the laundromat without, as I demonstrated.
Yeah, true enough, yeah.
I can't watch them without laughing uproariously. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's very much an episode that feels like it fits in next season onwards, as far as I'm concerned. But Steve, The Revenge, season 2, episode 13. What did you think?
The Revenge? That was a fun episode.
Yes.
It definitely, I mean, in terms of, I mean, kind of, I don't want to feel like I'm just lifting from exactly what you said, but in terms of where that episode fits and the journey that these first two seasons have gone so far, it definitely feels like a more latter day Seinfeld episode. All of the characters get a little go. There's an A plot and a B plot. They're both about the same thing.
They kind of converge ish.
A little bit. And with the deal with Rick and George in the bar, you just get that kind of perfect moment where, like you were saying, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, where you think everything's dealt with and resolved, and then snap, Rick's like, "You're not a bad guy. I'll bring you back." And you just give that final twist.
Yeah.
In the kind of the excruciating discomfort of now everything that you've been building up to, and the satisfaction of enacting the plan, and now you could only wish you could just undo it, but you can't undo it.
Yeah.
And that moment you point out where he just calls him a shrimp, and just the face changes.
Yeah.
And yeah, just great little details like that in there.
And
that's the that's what I'm coming to expect from stories like this. So yeah, I mean, there isn't too much else to say about it, really. I think that what you were saying about Michael Richards and his dedication to his physical performance in the laundromat definitely comes through on screen. I mean, like, that's not just a guy who's larking about. He's it's a very funny physical turn, but you can see he's really throwing himself at it.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a really odd intensity to Michael Richards,
which you know, works. It fits the show. It fits the character.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got the room to do it.
Oh no, he's hilarious.
Great. I mean, every performer's given the space to, to put their twist on the characters and contribute like that.
And as you said before, if anyone's underserved, it's Jerry.
Yeah, it's everyone else's show but his in that respect, isn't it? He's very giving.
Brilliant. Well, if you like this, you're going to love what we've got coming in the next season.
Cool, blimey.
Because we've only got one episode left of Seinfeld season two.
Season two, yeah.
Which we will talk about next week on this podcast. So I guess, Steve, if you've nothing further to add. That's how I say it now.
Turn into an open all hours.
That's it, yeah, that's how I say it. Podcast.
That'll be our next project.
I like Granville. Is it Granville now? Does Granville stutter?
No.
Doesn't he?
No, he's okay.
You'd have thought he'd have gone for the stutter.
I quite look forward to doing a podcast about feeling all wistful about half pennies.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, if I could just say this, Steve, thank you very much for listening. And do listen out to or look out on iTunes for Hello Granville, Steve and I's new Open Our Hours podcast, which I think by this point would almost certainly be done, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Coming soon in 2021.
Yeah, something like that. God, I think that'd probably be around when we finish this one.
Yeah, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, as always, for listening. And
thanks,
we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.